I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
Booyaka, booyaka, booyaka. It's Reese on the radio. We are live. It is January the 21st, 2012. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to each and every one of you. I hope that you are listening to the show tonight as we celebrate the life and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's something that we do every year. I have to make sure that I play a portion of the I Have a Dream speech. It's what it is that I start off the show with, and I will continue to do that until the end of time, until my dying day. I will make sure that I will play that I Have a Dream speech, only because that's not what it's about. When I play Malcolm X speeches, then you could go power to the black people, Mary. When I play Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I want to make sure that people recognize that I understand the full the potential of what it is that Dr. Martin Luther King is talking about. Yes, the crux is of what he's saying. Absolutely, Mary.
So many people miss.
That's right. They have completely misinterpreted
that. They don't even hold the brain to be able to ever.
No, they don't. You're absolutely right. I don't believe that they do. We got plenty of news, plenty of views. I understand something happened in Washington, D.C. today. I can't say that it was a big gala event. 4 years ago, on January 20th, 2009, some 1.8 million people showed up for the event, and it was huge. It was the inauguration of President Barack Hussein Obama. I understand that the numbers this year don't make half of what people were there. So therefore, it was a lackluster event. When you lose half your audience, you're no longer a big deal. I understand the young lady who can't stop overexposing herself. Beyonce was there. I did not see her. I was not interested. I understand somebody from Texas who I kind of like, and she's a little cute and bubbly, was there as well. Very humble young lady. Kelly Clarkson was there. F Hart right now, not feeling that broad. F you, bitch. I'm not digging you either. I noticed that the real American Idol, Carrie Underwood, did not show up because she's a Texas girl and she knows better. Okay? just to say, F you, Kelly Clarkson. You'll never, ever be half the woman that Carrie Underwood is or ever will be. I also would like to give a shout-out to Medgar Evers' wife, who I found out is way prettier than Whoopi Goldberg. And you're wondering why I'm saying that, is that Whoopi Goldberg played Medgar Evers' wife in a TV movie a couple of years back. If there was any director out there who thought that Whoopi Goldberg should play this beautiful black woman in a film, they should be slapped. They absolutely slapped in the jaw. I was offended by that. Somebody should be cold-heartedly disrespected behind that. Some other events that happened, Al Roker got to shake Joe Biden's pants. He almost peed himself. He was so giddy. Welcome to a left-wing media. He was so excited that he got to talk. Was that Medgar Evers? Medgar? Just trust me. Just look up Medgar Evers. Spell it any way you want to. She was there. She gave the benediction today at the inauguration. Look her up. I'm sure her picture is there. They decided that Whoopi Goldberg was better represented to play this woman than wide-nosed Whoopi Goldberg. That was insulting. That broke my heart. Somebody should have been slapped for that. But anyway, moving on. President Obama and his family, hey, congratulations to them. He won fair and square, or so they say. And the inauguration was happening today. I have to bring up dissension because you can't find it anywhere. You have to bring up dissension in issues like this. NBC, ABC, CBS, they will not talk about dissension. See, if George W. Bush was being reelected, you would hear from the protesters who don't like George W. Bush, people who are protesting the war in Iraq and Afghanistan. You would hear from them. You would see them on the news. You didn't see that today. But I want to play for you some audio of a dissenter. As you may know, President Barack Obama gave his speech. Took his oath. That's what I meant to say. I don't want to get ahead of myself. Took his oath on two Bibles. One Bible was that of Abraham Lincoln, the man he keeps comparing himself to. For some odd reason, this moron thinks he's freeing slaves and restoring the Union, even though here was Abraham Lincoln who was trying to bring the Union together. Here's Barack Hussein Obama, who is separating the country in our most diverse time and our most segregated time in U.S. history, the most bipartisan America in U.S. history. But he also had the Bible of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And someone who a lot of Negroes consider very prestigious. And I met this man, and I respect him, and I love him. Let me tell you that first. I don't agree with this man politically, but I love him. I met him. I hugged him. I was coming off a hangover when I met him the first time, and he knew it. I reeked of liquor. I came from the nightclub the night before. I was at Club Drama with our former producer. He showed up. We did a show at 6 o'clock in the morning, and who showed in was Cornel West. And I hugged him, and he knew I reeked of vodka and all other liquors. But he still said, I love you, brother, I love you. And I was excited. I actually sobered up when he walked into the room. He was the one who said on our show that after September 11th, the entire country has been niggerized, Cornel West. That's what he said. Everybody knows it who listened to it, heard him say it. And we played it as a soundbite every day on our show. We played it as a top of the hour. Like I do my top of the hour monologues, we played it every day after that. Because it was very important what he said, that we were all going to be watched after September 11th. We're all going to be niggerized. He was prophetic when he said that. So here's what Cornel West, who is a historian, who knows and loves Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., this is what he had to say about Barack Obama placing his hand on Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible.
When I got the news that my dear brother Barack Obama, President Obama, was going to put his precious hand on Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible, I got upset. And I got upset because you don't play with Martin Luther King Jr. and you don't play with his people. And by his people, what I mean is people of good conscience, fundamentally committed to peace and truth and justice, and especially the black tradition that produced him. all the blood, sweat, and tears that went into producing a Martin Luther King Jr. generated a brother of such high decency and dignity that you don't use his prophetic fire as just a moment in a presidential pageantry without understanding the challenge that he presents to all of those in power, no matter what color they are. No matter what color they are. So the righteous indignation of a Martin Luther King Jr. becomes a moment in political calculation. And that makes my blood boil. Why? Because Martin Luther King Jr., he died owing to three crimes against humanity he was wrestling with. Jim Crow, traumatizing, terrorizing, stigmatizing black people, lynching and so forth. Not just segregation, the way the press likes to talk about it. Second, carpet bombing in Vietnam, killing innocent people, especially innocent children. That's those were war crimes Martin Luther King Jr. was willing to die for. And thirdly, with poverty of all colors. He said it's a crime against humanity for the richest nation in the history of the world to have so many of its precious children of all colors and living in poverty, and especially on the chocolate side of the nations, and on Indian reservations, and brown barrios, and yellow slices, and black ghettos then. We call them hoods now, but ghettos then. So I said to myself, okay, there's nothing wrong with putting the hand on the Bible, even though the Bible's talking about justice, and Jesus is talking about the least of these. But when you put it in Martin's Bible, I said, this is personal for me, because this is a tradition that I come out of. This is a tradition that's connected to my grandmother's prayers and my grandfather's sermons and my mother's tears and my father's smile. And it's over against all of those in power who refuse to follow decent policies. So I say to myself, Brother Martin Luther King Jr., what would you say about the new Jim Crow? What would you say about the prison industrial complex? What would you say about the invisibility of so many of our prisoners, so many of our incarcerated, especially when 62% of them are there for soft drugs, but not one executive of a Wall Street bank going to jail? Not one. Martin doesn't like that. Not one wiretapper. Not one torture under the Bush administration at all. Then what did you say about the drones being dropped on our precious brothers and sisters in Pakistan and Somalia and Yemen? Those are war crimes, just like war crimes in Vietnam. Martin Luther King Jr., what would you say? My voice hollers out, then don't tame it. With your hand on his Bible, allow his prophetic voice to be heard. Martin, what would you say about the poverty in America now, beginning with the children, and then the elderly, then our working folk, and all colors, not just here, around the world? Don't hide and conceal his challenge. Don't tame his prophetic fire. So that as much as I'm glad that Barack Obama won, I think that Brother Mitt Romney would have been a catastrophe, and I understand my... Brother Newt told the truth of him about vampire capitalism, but that's true for the system as a whole, not just Mitt Romney in that regard. But when Barack Obama attempts to use that rich tradition, Frederick Douglass and Ida B. Wells Barnett, use the tradition of A. Philip Randolph, use the tradition of Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, use the tradition of Tom Hayden and so many others struggling to produce that voice that pushed Martin in the direction that he did, I get upset. People say, oh, Brother West, there's Smiley and West hating Obama. No, no. We just loving the tradition that produced Martin Luther King Jr., and we're not going to allow it to be in any way sanitized, deodorized, and sterilized. We want the subversive power to be heard. That's what made me think when he said he's going to put his hand on that Bible. Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say this about Cornel West. Everything he said, I 100% agree with. 100% agree with. Because invoking Martin Luther King Jr. in any way whatsoever, by putting your hand on that Bible, you must at least follow the tenets of Martin Luther King Jr. if you're going to put your hand on that Bible, in essence, you are invoking them to say that you are a part of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and you are a part of Abraham Lincoln, that you agree in, with the same ideals. Now, look, I may have some issue about sending drones over to kill people in Pakistan and Afghanistan and all that other stuff. He and I differ slightly on that. I don't give a damn who a drone kills over in those countries, to be honest with you, as long as it's to get a terrorist. The rest of it is collateral damage. But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., would he appreciate that? Would he advocate that? Of course not. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, he would not. And I'm glad that he made it very clear. He included, I don't know whether or not you noticed this, he mentioned Newt Gingrich, who was on the stage with him at this forum. And if you watch Newt Gingrich, watch the video yourself. Newt Gingrich is smiling and is nodding. He agrees in part with Cornel West. He may not agree with him wholeheartedly. He mentioned that thing about Mitt Romney and vulture capitalism and said that, you know, it's not just Mitt Romney. It's a condition that happens within the business world. He's right. It's just not directed at Mitt Romney as a whole. Mitt Romney is not the problem. There are others in the industry who do it as well. And I'm glad he cleared that up. Cornel West was brilliant when he gave that summation of why he was against President Barack Obama using that Bible. So I applaud him. JC called me earlier today and told me, oh, you got to hear Cornel West. He's hating on Obama. Hate isn't always bad, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. Sometimes hate is good. Sometimes good is bad. You heard the old expression. You know? What's that expression, Mary? Come on, you know it. Good intentions. Why am I spacing out on this one? No. That the hell is paved. The road to hell is paved with good intentions.
Yeah.
And trust me, sometimes people think that they're doing good, and of course it ends up being bad. President Barack Obama thinks he's doing good, and of course we see nothing but bad. Because his ideology tells him that what he's doing is good. It doesn't matter whether or not it affects people in an adverse way. That's a fact, like it or not. Not all good, not all bad is good. Not all good is bad. But sometimes bad is good, and sometimes good is bad. Sometimes hate is necessary. So I appreciate his hate. I appreciate the hate. Because the hate on someone, you may just find the truth. And that's the one thing that I won't tolerate. You cannot hate on the truth, nor should you. You should accept it. You must always accept the truth. By the way, when it is indeed true. So Cornel West got out there and made sure that people knew. Made sure the world knew that he is not a fan of President Barack Obama and his policies. I don't know whether or not Obama will get the transcript. I'm sure he'll hear about it. Or he'll ignore it like he ignores everything. But that's who he is and what he is. And we have to get into the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. And we have to talk about how it was celebrated in New Orleans. There are three factors in this story, folks. I want you to consider Martin Luther King Day on Martin Luther King Boulevard after a Martin Luther King parade. I want you to keep that in mind. Three things. It's Martin Luther King Day on Martin Luther King Boulevard after the Martin Luther King parade. It is a very interesting, for lack of a better word, an interesting story that you should all hear that today makes me laugh more than anything. JC, go ahead.
Let me guess, there was an MLK on an MLK Boulevard somewhere in this country.
No. There was, look. Trust me when I tell you, my man. You are
By the way, happy Renegro Day.
Okay. Thank
that's
you.
That's what we've done in this country today. We reneged.
Well,
we read up on our niggers.
Well, when you hear this story, you will definitely agree 100% with that. I want to play a song before we go to a break. I thought about this song. If you've ever seen the movie Drive with Ryan Gosling, there's a song in the film that you will remember when you hear it, if you saw the movie. The song is about Captain Sully Sullenberg and his famous plane landing on the Hudson.
Hudson River, right.
Yeah, in the Hudson River, when a bird flew into the engine of the plane. This song was actually written about that. And I want to attribute... Say again?
Sullenberg is... he's a CBS commentator now.
Yes, he is. Right. He is a correspondent on CBS now. As is Condoleezza Rice, who I heard just got that gig over there.
Yes,
but this song, I think, is way more appropriate today for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The song is called A Real Hero by a group called College, featuring Electric Youth. What I want you to do is I want you to look up the lyrics, because then you can read exactly how this pertains to Captain Sully Sullenberger and why it's appropriate for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Because he was a human being and a real hero, which is the crux of this song. So I want to dedicate this song to him and play a new song that's my favorite, man. I love this song. I hope this group does well. I hope their new album coming out in a couple of months is really, really good. If their album is as good as this song, if not better, I'm going to freaking scream to the rafters. There's a group called Victory. But here's a College featuring Electric Youth, A Real Hero. If you saw the movie Drive, you'll recognize the song. This is dedicated to my hero, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio. Again, MLK Day in New Orleans on MLK Boulevard after the MLK Parade. Wait until you hear what happened. We'll be back at Reese on the Radio.
Don't. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
We are back. We are live at the bottom of the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com, January the 21st, 2012. We've got to get into Lupe Fiasco being thrown off the stage at a pre-inaugural performance that happened yesterday. We'll get into that. I've got some audio of that. It's a little grainy, but I'll break down to you what it is that he said. If you can't hear it, we'll talk about that. And we've got some other stuff to get into as well. Okay, here's the deal, folks. I am the first and probably the only guy to rip and ridiculously destroy any of the people who consider themselves supporters of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in the black community. I know a lot of them do a lot of showboating. I know a lot of them do a lot of the worst kind of BS paying homage to this great man, my hero, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. A lot of people pretend that they are supporters of him, and you know, they claim that, but they don't live their lives according to the tenets of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. They don't. And of course, the biggest villains, that's the best way to call them, folks. The biggest villains of this act is portrayed by those in the black community. And you're going to be stunned when you hear this. Okay, this is a real story, a real news story. I wish I made it up. I wish I made it up. But I did not. I did not make this up. Folks, listen to this news report that came out of New Orleans today. Today, of all days.
Good evening, I'm Dennis Wolfram.
And I'm Angela Hill. Right now, police are looking for the gunman who shot five teenagers in Central City.
Shots rang out around 1 o'clock this afternoon, shortly after the Martin Luther King Day parade passed the corner store where the shooting took place. Paul Murphy joins us live in Central City with details. Paul?
Dennis, Angela, much of the crowd that had come out to watch the Martin Luther King Day parade was still outside here enjoying the day when shots rang out. Police call this another senseless shooting on a day set aside for peace. Police spent the afternoon collecting evidence shell casings outside a grocery at Martin Luther King and LaSalle in Central City. Investigators say shortly after 1, a late model white two-door vehicle drove past the store and a gunman opened fire on 5 or 6 teenagers standing on the corner in front of the store.
So far we know of 5 injuries. We do not expect that any of those injuries are fatal at this time.
The shooting is more than a little unsettling for neighbors who witnessed the crime. Many of them were outside after watching the Martin Luther King Day parade, which passed by within a half hour of the shooting.
I was upstairs in my bedroom, and I just heard the gunshot, boom, 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 boom. And I just ran outside, and I seen all the kids just scattering. It must have been like 15 minutes after the parade.
It's not the first time. There's always something like that going on around here. So, you know, that make you want to be scared and keep your children locked up inside. Can't even just hang out and talk to your friends, you know, and sit down and have fun without something like that going on around here.
Significance of this shooting on Martin Luther King Jr. Day on Martin Luther King Boulevard is not lost on people who live in this Central City neighborhood.
I just think that's so sad for them to be born a shooting and killing on Martin Luther King Day. It's embarrassing to the community.
NOPD Superintendent Ronald Surpass says a surveillance camera at the store caught the shooting on video.
Interesting, we saw the video and was watching the video, and a police car passed in front of the store about a minute or less before the white vehicle came behind it and then opened fire on these young men.
Again, police are looking for a late model white two-door sedan, possibly a Pontiac, possibly a Nissan, that may have been used in this drive-by. And if you can help locate this vehicle or the shooter, you are urged to call Crime Stoppers at 822-1111. We're live in Central City. Paul Murphy, Eyewitness News.
What makes this story, come on, folks, you know what makes this story so great. Luther King Day, it's a Martin Luther King parade on Martin Luther King Boulevard. And the police drove by less than a minute before. And
you know what those three things we are equivalent to?
What are those three things equivalent to?
A drive-by waiting to happen.
I cannot believe. And to me, in my mind, I'm almost thinking to myself. I'm thinking to myself, some lunatic is saying, yo, man, we're going to get on the news today. Because what we're going to do is we're going to wait until the MLK parade is over on MLK Day. And we're going to shoot them on MLK Boulevard. We're going to be on the news today. Come on, JC. That's my man, that's a triple threat.
I'm disgusted. I'm absolutely disgusted.
Of course you are.
And my MLK must stand for much likely kill them.
Say that again?
My MLK stands for much likely kill them. It's crazy. It's like, I can't believe that we've sunk this low. I mean, I swear to God, let me scrape up enough cash, I'm out of this country. I can't do Black in America no more. I can't.
You can't do it anymore. You don't want to do do you not want to do what do you call it?
Give me Black in Germany.
Black History Month?
Give me Black in Germany. Make me an African German. Maybe African Canadian or something. I just can't do black and American anymore.
We don't have long for that, do we? 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Less than 2 weeks.
Less than 2 weeks. And that'll be the month that we'll act up the absolute most. There'll be jiggle time everywhere.
I think we might have to bring back jiggle time.
Jiggle month.
First day of Black History Month is on a Friday. Oh, man. Oh, man.
Yeah. Let me get enough money, I'm out of here, man.
Say that again?
If let me get enough money, I'm out of here. I'll still be reachable by net.
Where you go?
Butte, Montana somewhere.
He's going to Montana. You'll try to get away from Negroes as far as you possibly can, right?
As far as I possibly can. I want to go where they will absolutely have to have auto insurance to find me. Maybe I'll go hang out in some of the some of those abandoned warehouses and fill the place up with applications.
I know I'm saying that embarrassing this has happened, but you know what? It happens every day. I don't think that these guys could possibly or would possibly take a day off from pulling off one of these crops. I think that, I don't know that there's one person out there, any one of them, who would not try to pull this off. They don't care about a day like this. And okay. Great, they waited until after the parade happened, but they know people are gathering in respect of Dr. Martin Luther King's. It was the perfect recipe, apparently. Do you think that they watched the news after the shooting and they sort of took a laugh and said, "Yeah, man, I didn't really think about that." I was like, "Oh, yeah," it's like, you know. And, you know, for them to say it's embarrassing, for that black woman to say, this is embarrassing for the community. Yeah, it is embarrassing. Of course it's embarrassing for the community.
You know why it's embarrassing for the community? On a day like today? It's embarrassing for the community on a day like today? Because you let it happen every other damn day.
That's right.
It needs to be embarrassed every day.
That's right. It needs to be embarrassing every day.
Yeah.
You are 100% correct, my friend. It needs to be embarrassing every day.
I think I want to do black in Mexico.
Dude, you do not want to be in Mexico.
Belize.
Go north, my friend. Go north. You'll do better in Canada. You don't want to go to Mexico, my friend. Go to Canada. If you want to go straight, want to get out of the country and be not too far away, go to Canada. You know? The West Indian culture is well accepted in the Toronto area. They love it out there. I don't know if you know this, but that's where what's that reggae artist, the light skinned one with the braids, Sean something.
Sean, I know you're talking about.
Man, why am I forgetting his name?
He's a plagiarist. Sound like Supercat.
Yeah. But he's the light-skinned Jamaican. He goes up there all the time to produce all of his music videos. All the dancers in his music videos are from Toronto. He shoots his videos up there all the time.
Yeah. I just got to get the hell out of here. I can't do it here.
Yeah, dude, trust me. Go to Toronto. Hey, go to Montreal. They're really, really, you know, they're free-spirited up there as well. The people in Ontario do not like people from Montreal. They hate each other.
I have a problem with Canada, though, period. Because they allow the eating of baby seals. I got an issue with that.
Have you ever tasted a baby
seal? No.
Well, how do you know it isn't good? It might be good eating.
No. No. I got to draw the line somewhere.
I don't know. I've never tasted a baby seal, but if somebody fried it up good and put it on, you know, with some hollandaise sauce, it might be really, really good.
Ew.
What do you mean?
Can't do this.
You don't know what's good until you taste it.
No,
you can't
I'm be good.
Afraid of stuff you don't know. That's what the libs say all the time. Keep an open mind.
No. All right. What are we on to next?
Something that they don't like. Then you can't have it.
I can't go to Canada.
Why can't you go to Canada?
Alaska.
What are you going to say? You know what? You can go to Alaska. You want to deal with 6 month nights and 6 month days?
I can do that.
You probably would.
I can do that. I could. I can do that.
Oh, wait.
Hang out with the Palins.
He says there was more than one shooting on MLK Boulevard today. Of course there was. Hey, look, Edward, if you could find more, I'd appreciate it. Actually, man shot during MLK Luther Jr. Man shot during Martin Luther King Jr. parade. This story is coming out of the Clarion Ledger. It says Jackson police say that a 19-year-old male opened fire during the Martin Luther King Jr. parade in Jackson, injuring one person. The incident occurred just after 12 noon on the corner of Granberry Street and Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. The 23-year-old victim was transported to University of Mississippi Medical Center with a gunshot wound to the chest. The suspect was charged with aggravated assault, and the weapon was recovered, police said. The police said they are looking for another suspect. The names of the victim and suspect have not been released.
I'm disgusted.
Oh, man. Let freedom ring, damn it. Let freedom ring.
Yeah. Let freedom ring. You're right.
Let freedom ring in a hail of gunshots.
You're damn right. Let them clap.
Let the guns clap. Let freedom ring.
Let the guns clap.
Oh, man.
From every nook and cranny of Brooklyn to every...
I freaking love it.
From under every rock and stone turn and through all this...
Happy Martin Luther King Day, niggas!
God bless America! God damn America!
What you looking at, bitch? You looking at my...
Ruckus.
Okay, Maryland
Island.
Where is the shooting? Please tell me the shooting was on Martin Luther King Boulevard. Mary, why are you bugging? Is telling me that. Say it again, so I can repeat it, because you're a little far away, so they can't hear you.
Reginald LaRose,
he was captured. He's connected to a shooting on MLK Boulevard and Virginia Avenue. Where was this? In Florida.
In Tampa. Tampa, right?
What's that?
Tampa.
Is that Tampa, Florida, Mary? JC's asking. Was that in Tampa, Florida?
Well, St. Petersburg.
It may have been. He says it may have been St. Petersburg.
Yeah, because my brother brags about the MLK parades, because they have big ones down there.
Oh, do they?
Oh, yeah. Tampa, St. Pete, they have big, huge MLK different parades.
Why would anybody think that that was an appropriate day to start shooting people? Why? Oh, this is in Tallahassee, Florida. Still pretty close by. Not extremely close, but close by nonetheless.
Oh, you know what? It's May that. That was April 12th, so...
Oh, was it last year? Oh, so it's... But it's not uncommon.
Hey.
L- let free.
100 are shooting at Jackson, Mississippi. Listen, little whole thing. 100 are shooting during MLK Junior Parade in Mississippi. 5 hours a day. About 5 hours ago. Wow. One person injured, and that's in the, that was from the Examiner. Cindy Adams. Where's this one?
Just look up. All you have to do is just work. Look up MLK shootings on MLK Boulevard.
Yeah.
That what you did, Mary?
Or even at the parade period.
Mary says she has something from the Kansas City Star. They're all over the place, guys.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Hartford, we don't have an MLK Boulevard, Street, Avenue, or anything.
Really?
No, we don't.
Oh, that's interesting. Nope. Oh, you know what we might have to bring back for Martin Luther King Day, right? We might have to start doing this two times a year.
Murder, death, kill.
And turn it into murder, lynch, kill.
It might have to be murder, lynch, kill for MLK.
Yeah. That'll work.
But what could possibly be wrong with these people?
Murder, death, kill.
Did you get around to seeing Django?
Did I get around to seeing Django?
Yeah.
Dude, I wouldn't watch that movie if somebody got it on bootleg and paid my bus fare to come watch it at their house. What would I watch it for? I have no interest in that. I've got the news. I've got the news to show me niggas killing people.
Listen, I'm with Spike Lee on this one.
You with Spike Lee on this one?
Of course. And I don't like Spike Lee.
Of course you would Spike Lee on this one. Why not?
I don't like Spike Lee.
Spike Lee deserves all the credit in the world for ripping this movie. Although I hear Jamie Foxx is crapping on Spike Lee, saying what he said with disrespect.
You know it's a great movie, though?
Tell me.
Haunted House.
Are you serious? The Wayans movie was good?
There's only one Wayans in it. So that's a good part. There's only one. It's not their typical scary movie spoof.
Uh-huh.
But that is very funny. That movie is very funny, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'll be done watching it in about a half hour.
All right. Okay, well, definitely fill me in on whether or not it was actually any good. Anyway, we'll take a break. When we come back, we got Lupe Fiasco, and we got to talk about Mary's picks coming true again. Damn it, she's just amazing with these stupid freaking football picks. I'm not going to prognosticate ever again. I'm not even going to pick a winner of the Super Bowl because I'm going to get it wrong. By the way, if you want to win money, let me help you out. If you want to win money betting on the Super Bowl this year, whoever I pick to win, pick against me. Any amount of money. Pick against me.
Or pick them.
Exactly. If Mary and I, okay, by the way, just to give you an insight, if Mary and I agree on who's going to win, if Mary and I agree on who's going to win, okay, that team's going to lose because I made that pick. If Mary makes the pick, Mary's picking the Ravens here. Mary's picking the Ravens for what? You coming over here? Okay. All right, Mary's going to come over here to talk.
I'm picking the Ravens because I want the Ravens to win.
There's that much I know.
I'm doing it for Ravens. However.
Your ex-boyfriend is a big fan. I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Well, yes, he is. Whatever. I mean, the fact is the fact.
Yeah.
No, I'm a Ray Lewis fan. I think he deserves it. However, Flacco better come with his best game because
he threw three touchdowns against the Patriots, for crying out loud.
Yeah, he did.
It wasn't that Baltimore was playing so much better. The Patriots never showed up in the second half.
I'm agreeing with you here. I'm totally agreeing with you here.
Okay.
But we're talking about the Patriots, who have an average of 35 points a game, and the Ravens
You're
shut them down.
You're putting them on a pedestal.
I'm putting them on a pedestal because they're good.
And you know what? I guarantee you, like they always do, like giving a damn two-year-old, giving a two-year-old a porgy sandwich, a fried porgy sandwich, the damn San Francisco 49ers are going to choke.
See, this
Mark
is where it's
interesting.
Yeah. Hold on, hold on.
Let me finish because I was not.
I'm going to a break. I'm going to a break. Go ahead. Because I'm going to talk about this some more.
I'm picking the Ravens because my heart is picking the Ravens.
So you're not picking them based on you're not doing the willy-nilly where you always get it right? You only showed up 50% in the divisional.
No, I never go willy-nilly. I know what I'm doing.
I know what you're doing. But you went 50% last time, and you went 3-1 last year. You went 50% this year.
And I'm 3-1 right now. I went 3-1 last year, and I'm 3-1 right now.
No, you're 2-2 right now. But then now you're – okay. We're each division, each week, that bet is solid. So you're 2-2 last week. This week – You got them all right.
Yeah.
So you're 100%.
Yeah, okay.
So in the Super Bowl, you only get one pick.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
It's either winning or losing.
I'm going with the Ravens.
Okay.
But the Ravens, you better come with your best game face on because Kaepernick.
He can destroy you.
And the 49ers offense and their defense is not going to hold back.
No, I understand that. That's why we want to
get it. And they're a great team. I really think that this kid is an up-and-coming star.
Really?
I do. Kid has done things that it's amazing.
However, I just wanted to say, I know, we'll get into that. I do that on purpose. We're going to get into the game.
However, I am picking the Ravens, so that's my final pick. My final answer is the Ravens.
We'll get into the games that happened yesterday because I want to talk about Bill Belichick. And I'm hoping that Sally D calls up. By the way, JC, you have to do this before the top of the hour. You have 6 minutes. I need you to get Shannon Sharp on CBS dissing Bill Belichick. Okay? Can you get that audio for me? Because it's going to take me longer to get it than you can. Okay, so start looking it up now. Shannon Sharp of the CBS, NFL on CBS, whatever, he disses, you can find it on YouTube, he disses Bill Belichick about being a sore loser. So see if you can get that audio and get that up. You got about 5 minutes now, whatever. We'll do the top of the hour when we get back. It's Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today.
How appropriate, folks. How appropriate. Reese on the radio right here on January the 21st, 2013, 1 minute after the hour on blogtalkradio.com. How appropriate it is to play that today. And what's interesting is after Dr. Martin Luther King says, "I have a dream today," I play Running Down a Dream by Tom Petty and Heartbreakers, or just Tom Petty for that matter. How appropriate is that? Running down a dream, goddammit. How appropriate is that? Let me, we talked about Monday Night Football. Well, what am I talking about Monday Night Football? Sunday Night Football, for crying out loud. JC has put in the audio, although for some odd reason, Jay, I'm not finding it, man. Anyway, I'll cue you. You play it when it comes up. But we may know about the whole deal that happened with the 49ers and the Atlanta Falcons. I understand that after the game was over, an Atlanta Falcons fan got stabbed in the neck outside the stadium. You did not hear about this? Go to Drudge Report right now. It's there. An Atlanta Falcons fan was stabbed in the neck after he punched a San Francisco 49ers fan. That San Francisco 49ers fan said, "I'll scratch your eyes out, bitch," stabbed him in the throat. Love it. Love it. I'm not condoning violence here. But if you're going to punch the dude first just because you lost the game, you might have to get jigged up. You might have to get jigged up. That game was impressive. Kaepernick didn't do anything amazing here. Colin Kaepernick, the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, did not do anything amazing here because he was really not the – I can't say he was the hero of the game. Vernon Davis, the tight end, he was amazing for a guy who's been quiet for so long, who most people said had been ignored for a long time by Colin Kaepernick, because Alex Smith, the former starting quarterback, – really paid attention to Vernon Davis, and Colin Kaepernick had paid more attention to guys like Randy Moss, had paid attention to guys like Crabtree, the wide receiver, that Vernon Davis wasn't getting a lot of reps. And here it was Colin Kaepernick who, in essence, sort of released Vernon Davis as a secret weapon. And these guys came back and did to Atlanta what you can expect to happen to Atlanta. They fall short. It's who they are. It's who they always are. One playoff win to three losses. Atlanta was who they thought they were. They were who we thought they were. That's Denny Green. You remember that. They are who we thought they were. Or thought they were. Whatever he says. You know, you remember it. Anyway, but the game that got the most attention was the Baltimore Ravens versus the New England Patriots. And for a team to only score 13 points in the first half, for that to be the New England Patriots, it was absolutely uncharacteristic. And I don't root for the Patriots, but I had them picked to go to the Super Bowl. So you can imagine how upsetting it was for a team that I picked that has been stellar throughout the season, kicking ass and taking names, for them not to show up and only score 13 points and allow the Baltimore Ravens and Ray Flacco, a guy I've been ripping all year for being lackluster, half-assed, and barely moving, for turn around and throw three touchdowns against the New England Patriots. But what was more amazing was at the end of the game, of a disappointing game, and you saw it in Tom Brady's eyes, starting quarterback for the New England Patriots, for those of you living in a rock or under one. He looks sad. He always, you know, he does that thing where he lays on the ground and he drops his hands. You know that old look. It's classic for him. He just throws his hands down. He's almost like a little boy when you see him there. Just like, oh, man, come on. That kind of look. Is that guy. But Bill Belichick, the head coach of the New England Patriots, did something that's, I don't know. That's...
Ooh, did you see what Wes Welker's wife said?
No, we'll get into that in a second. I'll give you a chance. I'll give you a chance. But CBS, who aired the football game, of course, they talked to the losing coach afterwards, as they did on Fox when they talked to Mike Smith, the losing quarterback of the Atlanta Falcons 49ers game. And it's a tough thing to do, but the guy goes out there and he talks and he answers the questions, and he knows it's a loss and it's tough, but it's a job, it's a game. Bill Belichick refused to talk to CBS, who I found out today pays $100 million to the team to broadcast their games. $100 million. And you don't give that network the courtesy to give an interview after a title game? Well, Shannon Sharp, and I don't think anybody's going to rip Shannon Sharp for this. JC, you ready? Play the audio. Shannon Sharp said this.
JB, there's something to be said about being gracious in defeat. We've seen the New England Patriots five times in the last 12 years be victorious. And we've seen the opposing coaches that lost come out and talk to our Steve Tasker. Now, Coach Kyle did it when they lost to him. We saw this last week. Bill Belichick makes it real easy for you to root against the Patriots. You can't be a poor sport all the time. You're not going to win all the time. And he does this every time he loses. It is unacceptable.
All right, so that is...
He does this every time he loses. Now, folks, there's a sense of entitlement here if you're paying close attention. That's Belichick's deal. It's entitlement. Belichick is always supposed to win. That's what he says within himself. Not that he's playing to win, but he's under the impression that he must always win. And when he doesn't, he's upset. He pouts. F you people. And what's even scary about this, and I'm bringing in Sal in a second. What's scarier about this is that if Belichick, who's supposed to understand the league and respect the network broadcasting the game that he is playing, if he didn't want to talk because he was just too sore after the loss, why not send out Wes Welker? Why not send out Brandon Lloyd, who had a great game, had a pretty good game? Maybe send out Hernandez, number 81, Aaron Hernandez. Send out Wes Welker. Or go for the top of the pile and let Tom Brady come out and talk to CBS after the loss. But no, you sent out a cornerback. You sent out some black cornerback. I don't even know who he was, and I don't care who he was. You sent him out. You sent out some nobody to deal with the press. You sent out an underling. Why is no one calling that racist? Why isn't Tom Joyner, Steve Hardly funny? The criticism that they gave Mike Shanahan for making RG3, Robert Griffin III, go out there and play a game with an effed up knee. Why didn't they say Belichick sending out the nigger to do his bidding Why wasn't that deemed as racist today? Let's bring in Sal. Sally D., what do you think? Do I have a case here, or am I out of my mind?
I mean, only you could turn this into a racist issue.
Hey, I waited until the last possible second. Come on.
I swore I was done with football when they lost. I'm just disgusted. But here's the bottom line. You know, the Ravens came out, and there's two ways you can look at it. You can look at it and say, well, they lost Gronkowski the prior game, and they lost Tlaib. The reality is those two guys are huge for the Patriots.
Oh, absolutely.
Without them, they're not the same team. But
and interesting enough, with Tlaib goes out, Tlaib, who's covering Anquan Boldin scores two touchdowns in the game.
Oh, absolutely. The secondary didn't know how to pick up the slack. That was clear.
Absolutely.
But the reality is there was a bigger story in this game. There were two key aspects to the game outside of those two players. Number one was the Patriots could not get to Flacco. They got to him a couple times. He had all the time in the world to do what he wanted to do. So that line for the Ravens deserves huge amount of credit for that win. And the second piece of it, and this is the one that really angered me, the Ravens were punching the Patriots in the face, and the Patriots were taking it. They couldn't. The Ravens were hitting so hard, guys were getting knocked out on the field, okay?
Oh, and man, there were two major hits, man. The one hit to Pitta, that was amazing the way I can't remember who it was who hit him, but caught him, I mean, pounced into him and then drove him into the ground. Impressive tackle. You couldn't even call it. You couldn't even call it excessive in any particular way. And then, of course, the hit to Ridley that knocked him the F out.
Oh, yeah, that was like watching a boxing match and just seeing one of those knockout punches.
Oh,
but, you know, when that stuff happens, the response has to be that same exact thing. I mean, these guys should have been coming out and trying to put a hurt on these. The fact is, the Patriots were probably the more skilled team, but as they got beaten up by the second half, I think they were looking over their shoulder. They were thinking twice. You can't play football that way. They got their asses beat, and they just didn't show up in the second half, and I think a lot of it was the punishment they were enduring. It takes a lot out of it's just like a heavyweight fight, you know. Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a plan until they get hit in the mouth. And that's really what happened. I think that the Ravens just took the steam out of the Patriots and they just couldn't come back from it. So, hey, more power to the Ravens. I think depending on who shows up for the Super Bowl, it's entirely possible you're looking at the Ravens winning the Super Bowl. I haven't made up my mind yet. But
Do you think that the Ravens played defensively yesterday the way that they played in 2000 against the Giants or the games leading up to that Super Bowl? Because if you think about it, their quarterback was Trent Dilfer, who is largely a smaller and pathetic quarterback compared to Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco can throw the ball into the end zone compared to Trent Dilfer, who is a joke. Trent Dilfer threw for 150 yards, if not 135 yards, in that Super Bowl. That game was all defense. Everybody knew it. Rex Ryan was the defensive coordinator of that defense. Do you think that this defense played similar to what that defense played back in 2000? I mean, did you see that kind of vigor?
Yeah. No, you know what, it works out, it really to me comes down to what I said, the first part of it, which is when you don't pressure a quarterback, the wide receivers get deeper. They extend the field and they create space. If you pressure a quarterback, those throws aren't accurate, let alone even getting there because they're on their back foot. They didn't get pressure on him, so he was able to throw these beautiful deep balls. So I don't know if it's a question of Dilfer. I definitely think Flacco's the better quarterback. But without pressure, I think other quarterbacks would have done well as well. Patriots did not pressure him enough, and the receivers had time to extend the field, and those receivers will find will make plays if you let them do that. Without pressure, you're going to have those kind of plays happening.
Now, being from the Massachusetts area, Sally D, what do you think of the whole Bill Belichick controversy? What do you think?
I think Shannon Sharp was spot on. Belichick's never been able to take criticism because I think they were so used to winning when they got to the big games in the first, say, 5 years of his tenure, that when they started to lose in the big games, they didn't really know how to adjust to that. And that included the after-the-game responses and you know, the interviews. So he's spot on. I mean, Belichick, that was kind of classless. You know, you got – and I believe it's because they know they got their ass beat. It wasn't even a close game. It wasn't even a close game. So, I feel dejected. I have no vested interest. I didn't gamble on the game. And I'm just still, like, disgusted over the way they played. So can you imagine being on that team, thinking you're going into your fourth Super Bowl, possibly, no, not fourth to win, and you don't get there. And you not only don't get there, but you get spanked on a national audience. It's got to be a seriously depressing and dejecting thing.
What do you think of the – did you hear about the what's his name? Terrell Suggs?
No, I did not.
Okay, well, Suggs, the defensive player for the Baltimore Ravens, number 55, was heard saying that the New England Patriots are a bunch of arrogant effers.
Arrogant pricks.
No, he said arrogant effers. Yeah, and he called them pricks too. And said that have fun at the Pro Bowl, they said. Because, of course, if you're going to the Super Bowl, you don't have to play in the Pro Bowl. But then have fun at the Pro Bowl. And then suggested that all of them are a bunch of arrogant effers, Belichick all the way down. Now, some people have went so far as to say Belichick's arrogance has now started to seep into the reputations of other players where most people say that if you look at the other players and you talk to them, those guys are not arrogant people. Tom Brady's not an arrogant guy, very humble, very respectful. You can't say that about guys like Teddy Bruschi. You can't say that about Willie McGinnis, who I loved. I'm one of my favorite players in the game as a whole. There are a lot of players, and Teddy Bruschi who I have a lot of respect for. I don't like the Patriots, but I like the guy, and I love his football analysis. These guys aren't arrogant people. But somebody said something interesting today. They said that Bill Belichick is such a formidable person or force in that organization that his arrogance has a tendency to then spill out onto other people. Do you agree with that, Sally?
Yeah, I think the character of a coach does affect the players. And I think that there's some of that, sure. You know, at the end of the day, I think football is a game that, you know, it hurts to play that game. It's different the way it looks on TV than when you're on the field in a uniform and you're hurt and you got hit in the ribs. You know, the shot that Welker took off the hip, I didn't even think he was coming back from that. That was just a brutal, brutal shot to the leg, the one that flipped him up and over.
Yeah.
And, you know, those things are what matters in a football game. I don't think it has a thing to do with the character of the guys. I just don't think they're as tough. And the Ravens were just fired up, you know, and hitting hard and hitting a lot harder than the Patriots. And I think if they show up and play that way against the 49ers, they don't have the talent the 49ers have, in my opinion, still. But if they show up and play and hit hard and stay close in the first half, they could win it. And the fact that they could win a Super Bowl when nobody picked them to go this far. I mean, I picked them to go into Denver and win. I really didn't think they were going to beat New England. I thought it would be a close game. Turned out they spanked them. So, you know, we'll see what happens. San Francisco's a lot like New England. They're finesse. They've got some great players. But they do have a, you know, West Coast-style game. I think the Ravens have a shot.
So do I. I'm actually starting to lean towards the Ravens on this because I believe that team, especially that defense, will analyze what that team does offensively and that pistol offense that the 49ers run, I think they'll analyze that so deep. I don't think that they're the type of team that would overanalyze it. I believe with the talents of a guy like Ray Lewis and the football know-how of a guy like Ray Lewis, with a guy like Ed Reed and definitely a guy like Terrell Suggs, I believe these guys know defense so well. I think that they have a bond and a friendship and a brotherhood that really understands the defense and understands their job, that if these guys analyze the film, they've got 2 weeks to analyze this team. 2 weeks to analyze this team. And if they really figure it out, I believe these guys are technicians, and I don't think the 49ers could possibly have a shot unless they just go deep. And they're going to stick it to guys like Randy Moss, who, you know, could be, you know, get his first Super Bowl win, got a great opportunity to do that. But I think that they'll definitely put a handle on Vernon Davis. I think they'll put a handle on Crabtree. I do believe that this defense is better than the San Francisco offense. I believe that.
Yeah,
I just believe
that
they're smarter than them.
It's really a tricky thing. I mean, you know, none of us thought the Ravens would go in New England and spank them, right? There was always a chance they could win, but you never thought it would be such a beatdown. You
never thought it would be points in the second half, Sal. No one ever thought that would happen.
Yeah, you just don't know in these games. I mean, how many Super Bowls you look back on, and game of the century, game of the decade, and it may turn out to be blowouts. And then the game, sometimes you don't think the team has a shot. They come in, they win. You just don't know. You just don't know. I really think it just comes down to who shows up.
On one final note about the New England Patriots and the arrogance part, I don't know if you remember this, Sal. Do you remember LaDainian Tomlinson when he was a part of the San Diego Chargers?
Sure.
And do you remember the playoff game that New England beat the San Diego Chargers in San Diego? And LaDainian Tomlinson during the post game press conference called Bill Belichick and the team classless, because after the game that San Diego lost, the team was standing in the middle of the field, and they were stomping on the lightning bolt. Do you remember that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so this is exactly – that's why I say the whole Shannon Sharp thing with the sore loser thing and, you know, the sore winner thing and the class of the New England Patriots. You know, Belichick never responded to that. And I think you can find that audio on YouTube. But he never responded to that and never apologized for it either. And LaDainian Tomlinson held that really, really personal. Even when he joined the Jets, he still kind of dealt with that on a personal level because he thought it was very disrespectful for them to do that. You win the game, you go home. You know, we lost at home. We're gracious enough to step on the field. But to stomp on our on our field in that fashion is disrespectful. The same way Dallas, Texas, the Dallas Cowboys were pissed off at Terrell Davis when he played for San Francisco, scores a touchdown and runs to the middle of the field and stands on the star and opens his arms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just something you don't do. Who was the
–
I can't remember who the player was who ran into Terrell Davis after he did it a second time. I want to say Rocket Ishmael, but it was somebody else. But he came in and slammed him. Everybody ended up getting penalties afterwards. And, of course, even a guy like Emmitt Smith, the most soft-spoken football player since Barry Sanders, after Terrell Owens did it the first time, what did Emmitt Smith do? He ran to the middle of the field, took the football, and slammed it into the middle of the star afterwards. He says, not in my house. You're not going to disrespect my home. So, in essence, you know, that kind of disrespect will not be tolerated. And I kind of feel like the New England Patriots who say things like, when we walk out to a game on a playoff game, we walk out as a team. We don't do individual sort of accolades. These people are pretending to be sort of like this America's team or this, you know, teamwork team. And to pull a stunt like that is kind of classless. And I think that Bill Belichick solidified that that classification or that moniker, if you will. He's clarified that moniker, if you will, by what he did to CBS yesterday.
Well, speaking of classless, great segue to this little tidbit of info.
Uh-huh.
Wes Welker's wife, Anna Burns Welker, went on the offensive against the Ravens.
Really?
On her Facebook page. Now, Ray Lewis wasn't recorded, not to my knowledge, saying anything like disrespectful or anything like that. That was, you know, thugs, you know, went on.
Yeah, sure.
Well, this is what Anna Burns Welker had to say. Proud of my husband and the Pats. By the way, if anyone is bored, please go to Ray Lewis's Wikipedia page. 6 kids, 4 wives. Acquitted for murder. Paid a family off. Yay. What a Hall of Fame player. A true role model. The former Miss Hooters wrote on her Facebook page following the Patriots' 28-13 loss to Baltimore. What a piece of shit you are.
What? Are you kidding? Where'd you find that?
On Drudge Report.
Really? Is that on Drudge Report right now?
Yeah.
Oh. What can you
really?
Sal, what can you say, man?
Not much. Hey, you know, I wanted to say one thing about the Martin Luther King thing. Real quick. You know, I look at this day, and I look at where we are as a country, and I thought two things. I saw a couple people posting on Facebook saying something along the lines like, you know, how great it is to be black, celebrate in the blackness and all this stuff. And I was myself, you know, what is it you mean by that? What are you celebrating? What achievements are you celebrating as a black person? What's to celebrate? And
they're celebrating that they're different from whites. That's what they're celebrating.
Yeah,
they're celebrating
that
they're different from
whites.
And the
other point to that is I think personally, and I don't know enough about the man, but I don't think that's what he had in mind, and I think if he was here today and he was able to come back in time and look down on where we are as a country, it's exactly what he didn't want. We are more separated and segregated than we ever were, and I think that divide would have been really sad for him.
That's the scary part, is that they think that Martin Luther King stands for the divide and the divisiveness that they're putting on Facebook. That's the laughable part. But you're absolutely right. Of course, and I know exactly who you're talking about on Facebook. Yeah, she tagged me in that garbage. But then again, she's a real, you know, black power person with absolutely no knowledge of her history. She learned everything there is to know about black history from the block.
Oh, we know you're all talking about Claudia might not never get out the ghetto.
Okay, we'll take a break. We're out of here. We'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio.
I ain't got no love for you, honey.
Yeah. Got it. Remix. We're all children still. We're all children. Yeah. Set it up. Yo. Heaven only knows if they'll hear it. Yeah. Heaven only knows if they'll hear me. Yeah. You know what? Heaven only knows. Cause I don't understand now. Won't you tell me, please? Tell me. What's the master plan? Master plan. Spent so many days. Many days. Sitting on a cloud. Sitting on a cloud. Heaven only knows. Only God knows.
So I'll just move.
Yo. Tell him. Nah, tell him. Now I break out of my physical shell and exhale past the so-called body. Used to go to the party, but now I sit and chill with the pen and the pad. Dropping ill philosophical science, me and my dad, we talk about life and how it started, how we departed from life's path, the probable right path. The task at hand is making people understand that we're not who we think we are. Within this land of the Lord, of course, the souls could be so high. People be getting high, wondering why we die, but it's all planned. Forget your fear, take the hand. We keep on returning, cause the lessons need learning. Concerning what fact, I sing and I rap, I hold this mic contact. Critics can step back and analyze. I energize with cosmic rays and days that ache, no. Get my signal from the sun.
Cause I don't understand.
Don't understand.
Won't you tell me?
Cause I pray every day.
What's the master plan?
The master plan.
Spent so many days.
Many days.
Sitting on a cloud.
Sitting on a cloud.
Heaven only knows.
Oh my God, no.
So riddle me this
like this. Melodical, prodigal flows. Hypnotic flows. The brain teaches. Telekinesis. When I reach the pinnacle, cynical, clinical, microphone, autobot. Waiting on lotto spots, trying to rock. But yo, they can't understand. There's only one plan. The time is at hand. It's the year 2012. 1-1. The people of the sun return to free the righteous children now. I know you want to be on top of the world, giving a dominant pearl to your girl, watching the jacuzzi swirl. Seems like material lust. We need to look up to the heavens for imperial trust. Me, it's kind of hard when you rhyme sometimes. Everybody wants to scrutinize, redefine who you are, but every person is a star, so let your light shine far.
Heaven only knows that I don't understand.
Don't understand now.
Won't you tell me, please,
tell me, please,
what's the master plan?
I wanna know the plan.
Spent so many days,
many days,
sitting on a cloud,
sitting on a cloud.
Heaven only knows.
If you feel this, so I'll sing it with me like I'm singing with me like everybody.
La 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 la.
So, my sister Sage and my girl Graf,
you know,
and I, the Shadow Thorn and S Love and I gel and I, the Figure Four, the Rascals and a Cardinal and my mom and dad, my brother A and my brother J and the whole world, the C Dot.
Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Reese on the Radio right here on blogtalkradio.com.
Wow, we're in stereo.
Basically, I'm complicated. I have a hard time taking the easy way. I wouldn't call it schizophrenia, but I'll be at least two people today, if that's okay. And I could go on and on and on,
but who cares?
I'm only going to tell you this once. If you want to watch a funny music video starring Mario Van Peebles, watch the video to that song. It's by Gnarls Barkley. It's called Who Cares? And Mario Van Peebles plays Blackula. It is hilarious. And trust me, it is one of the funniest videos that I've ever seen. Mario Van Peebles gets ragged on a lot about some of the movie roles that he plays. But if you see this music video, I promise you, you will laugh. It is one of the better videos that came out that year. It's Reese on the Radio, 34 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. And it is January the 21st, 2013. Were you about to say something, Mary?
I was.
What were you about to say?
We
got to
talk about the Obama phone lady.
Well, the Obama phone lady, that story's old now. Now she's not supporting Barack Obama. She was on Alex Jones. You can catch that on InfoWars. You know, she's talking about, you know, who you gonna, who, yeah, check it out. Who you going to vote for in 2016? Alex Jones tells her, definitely not Obama. Well, you can't vote for Obama in 2016, foolish. Unless, of course, he changes the law and he can run again. Oh, I said, almost said rule again. Ooh, slip. but yeah, check out the video at InfoWars. She's on there. She's now realizing the error of her ways. I watched the video. It is pretty funny, but I've watched it, and I was trying to find out whether or not there was some commentary I can make. Look, she's just another Obama voter who realized afterwards that Obama wasn't all that she dreamt him to be, or she made up in her own mind. Rush Limbaugh makes this great statement. He's been making it for weeks. Barack Obama has never told anybody who it is that he's going to be as a president. He allowed other people to make him what it is that they wanted him to be. He never once fought people's interpretations of who they thought he was, especially people screaming about, you know, I'm not going to have to pay my mortgage, I'm not going to have to pay my bills, you know, all that other stuff. He allowed people to make interpretations of who it is that he was, and never countered them by saying that. That's not the only time he ever spoke up to tell people that he wasn't who he said he was, is when he told black people, I'm not the president of blacks. It's the only time he ever spoke up. Which is, of course, a great segue into what I'm about to play now. You guys may not know Lupe Fiasco. Maybe you've heard of him. He was brought into the fold by Kanye West. You know, Barack Obama doesn't care about black people. You remember that, Hurricane Katrina, 2005. And Lupe Fiasco is now ripping Barack Obama. And he did it at a pre-inaugural concert for Barack Obama. Talk about not vetting the people that you bring on stage. Talk about not vetting them. This is
talking about not really being down.
Well, you don't, you obviously...
Well,
clearly the people who were setting up this concert don't know who Lupe Fiasco is. Has never ever vetted him. You ever read this guy's Twitter account? Well, probably so. Probably because he was popular. But it never vetted on who Lupe Fiasco is. If you've been paying attention for the past 6 months, Lupe Fiasco is going on a tirade against President Barack Obama. He's been ripping him apart. And he gets on the stage during this event, and of course he takes a shot at Rush Limbaugh and Glenn Beck. I don't know if you can hear the audio. I'll give you the transcript afterwards. But this is what he said. What happened to him afterwards is hilarious. And what people said, and you can watch the video, look it up. Lupe Fiasco rips President Obama and gets thrown off stage. This is what he said. Okay, if you didn't hear it, what he says, the most important part is, he says Limbaugh is the racist, Glenn Beck is the racist, Gaza Strip got bombed and Obama didn't say ish. That's why I didn't vote for him. He says this at a pre-inaugural concert. Well, soon enough afterwards, and I'll play it again. Hopefully you can hear it. Hold on. That's why I didn't vote for him. Is the next line. That's why I didn't vote for him. You're at the inauguration, the pre-inauguration concert for Barack Obama, and you say the Gaza Strip got bombed, and Obama didn't say ish.
You're
You're at the keep the niggas under control with the music.
Yes, exactly. Keep the nigga under control concert. Right, exactly. And then you go and bash the President of the United States. So in the middle of the video, you'll watch this because there's a closed caption on the video when you watch it. Some of the people who are sitting, they're cheering him when he says this about President Barack Obama. Those people aren't there to represent Barack Obama. They're there to see some live music. And they agree with Lupe Fiasco about Obama not saying stuff about the Gaza Strip. So when guys get up on the stage, and they're big, burly guys. Lupe Fiasco is, you know, a buck 23, soaking wet. And the dudes would get up on stage. These are big, you know, pro wrestler-looking guys. And they're stopping the concert. And you hear one of the people or the person filming this is going, "Yeah, what about freedom of speech, man? In this administration? Are you out of your freaking mind? Freedom of speech?" I laugh at you, stupid. What about freedom of speech? I'm hoping that you folks will watch the video just to see how laughable all of this is. You're not going to diss Barack Obama at the inauguration and expect to continue. That's why I didn't vote for him. And then he said some comment about being peaceful or whatever, Lupe Fiasco. All right, you know, you want to be a bark chewing, chamomile tea drinking, you know, sycophant who's a wuss and a half. You know, that's your business. He's probably one of those Dukakis guys. Runs out of the house when his place is being robbed. Won't defend his household or his family because he's peaceful. He'll probably tell somebody who breaks into his house with a gun, "Please don't shoot. I'm peaceful." He'll hope that that'll work. Now, I was going to give Lupe Fiasco some kudos, but I hate his music. His music is straight trash. I don't care how interesting or how fun-loving or how great people think his music is. It's straight garbage as far as I'm concerned. Oh, you're not going to hear any of this on the news, Mary. What are you kidding me?
Come on, it's the story of the day.
Yeah, it's supposed to be the story of the day. But nobody's going to promote this story. Nobody's going to promote this story at all. So I found it laughable that Lupe got kicked off the stage.
Oh, no. But this is going to make some noise in the hood. It's going to make some noise in the hood.
But the noise that it'll make in the hood, you see, is it will rip Lupe Fiasco.
They're gonna, but he has a street cred like none other. What I mean by that is he turned down Jay-Z when Jay-Z was president of Def Jam for a record deal.
Did he?
Yes, he did. He turned down Jay-Z on a record deal when Jay-Z was the president of Def Jam. He turned down quite a few others, too.
And that's interesting because he's a protege of Kanye West, right?
Right. No. I'm not going to even say he's a protege of Kanye West. Kanye West actually, to a degree, I'll say they needed each other.
Okay.
Lupe the damn sure didn't need Kanye.
He didn't. Are you saying he had a cult following, or he had a considerable following before he hooked up with Kanye?
Right. He's one of those rappers that you heard about long before they ever got a deal.
Hmm.
Like a lot of guys that you hear about now, like the first Montana.
He earned his notoriety before Kanye West.
Right.
Signed him.
And then the thing that pushed him over the top was him turning down Jay-Z.
And okay, so does he turn down Jay-Z because he doesn't want to go corporate and he wants to keep his urban following? He wants to be authentic. Is that
pretty much right? He wanted to keep it organic.
Right, he wanted to keep it organic. He didn't want to turn into a commercial artist. And you know what, I'll admit, man, in the mid-90s, a guy like Lupe Fiasco, I would have adored a guy like him, who had, you know, gained his following and kept it and built it up and did not go corporate. You know, there's a group, Modest Mouse, who I was a big fan of way before they did that song Float On. I've played their song here plenty of times. I was a big fan of theirs before, and when they came out with Float On, it was a big hit, and mainstream America caught on to it. They loved it. MTV couldn't stop playing it. They have another song that I play here, Ocean Breathes Through. In fact, you guys know it. I'll play it here. Here's Modest Mouse. I really, really like this group. And, yeah, here it is. This is one of my favorite songs by them. So they're one of my favorite groups, and they were one of my favorite groups before they went popular. And this was the second single from the album that went big, you know, would Float On and all that other stuff. So I can respect that to a large degree, that he keeps his song specifically for his audience and wants to grow them. I want to say it
in an
organic way. I guess that's the best way to put it. Go ahead.
I said, I'm like a bitch-ass like Kanye West. Lupe would have been the one that said, George Bush don't like black people. Then he would have turned around and dissed Barack anyways.
Right, exactly. His criticism would have stayed in the middle. It wouldn't have mattered who the president
was.
If he doesn't support his ideals, he criticizes them.
Right.
Which is why I can respect Lupe Fiasco for this. Even if I don't agree with him, at least he keeps it right down the middle. Now, most people rip on me, in particular, Jay King, right? Jay King and Kings in the Morning, right? They do a show at 11 o'clock Eastern time. They rip on me all the time. They call me extremely partisan. And they're right. I'm never, ever going to play the middle of the line. I'm a conservative. I'm the right of Rush Limbaugh, for crying out loud. I'll never play partisanship. But a guy like Lupe Fiasco, who is clearly a leftist, but when you don't follow his ideals, he doesn't waver. If you don't follow his ideals or what his ideology is, he's going to rip you no matter who it is that you are. That's why I give him credit.
Right.
And in essence, I would call a guy like Lupe Fiasco fair and balanced in his personal opinion of things. That's why I respect that. I won't listen to his music. I give two craps about him. Have you listened to his music? I mean, is it political? Is it social? Like, what's your opinion of his music?
Dirty backpack party music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He's one of those he's certainly a neo soul rapper.
Okay, so all right, so neo soul, okay. All right.
Yeah.
He's another bark chewing, chamomile tea drinking, dreadlock wearing hip hop artist.
No, I think he'd drink quarter water juices. I wouldn't give him bark chewing.
You heard the song that I played by Chaos, Heaven Only Knows. This guy's from Canada. Right? He's one of those guys. But I really love that song. I don't agree with anything he says in it, but it's so melodical. It's kind of upbeat. I dig his record. You know, I'm the kind of guy, if you listen to a lot of the music that I play here and the artists that I play here on Reese on the radio, you would be like, damn, Reese likes that song. That's so...
I was just going to say something about that.
Say again?
I was just going to say something about that right after the elections, I was thinking, well, where the hell did this music director come from? Who the hell is he? And why haven't I met him yet?
Oh, you're talking about?
I started to listen to some of it, and it's like, okay. But then I left it alone because I knew that you were choosing the music. And I said, well, then again, I don't know this side of him. I've never, ever really gotten to it with you musically to know what it is that you listen to. And I said, okay, well, if he's choosing it, it's got to be something that he's digging. And it's a weird vibe music to me.
Okay.
It is of that Tree Huggins set. But more so the tree hugger who refuses to get ebooks in college. He has to have paper books.
Absolutely. If you would listen to, okay, there's something that I want you guys to recognize about my musical taste. The thing that always draws me to a song is melody, sound, and delivery. They are three things that I will listen to a song that are completely different. Like, okay, perfect example. Why do I like Blur for this one song? I don't listen to Blur at all, but I love this song. This song drives me crazy. Now, I listen to a song like that, JC, and it puts me in a mood. The mood that that song puts me into, if I had enough...
Don't tell me. That's Open Your Car Up on the Highway beat.
Very close.
On an empty road, let the windows down, turn it up loud, and just floor it.
Right, exactly. You're close. That's exactly what I was thinking. That was the second thing I was thinking when I heard this song. What it reminds me of when I hear that, woo-hoo, it reminds me of jumping out of a plane. It's like Devil May Care is when I hear that song. It makes me go crazy when I hear that song. If I were a rocker kid with long hair, I would be, you know, I would be doing that. Now, this
you
song.
You whip your hair back and forth?
Exactly. I would be whipping my hair back and forth like a maniac. Now, I can listen to this song by Cult. Perfect song. Now, why do I like that song? I'll tell you exactly why I like that song. When I hear that song, that's a rock out song. Sitting in the house by myself, rocking out, maybe even, JC, even dancing with myself a la Billy Joel. I mean, not Billy Joel, what am I saying? Billy Idol. Dancing with myself. I would be in the basement of my house listening to vinyl. And I would flip out and just dance by myself. Nobody else was around, and just relieve stress and just jam to that.
Really?
Another perfect song, and why I love this group, don't agree with their politics, love this group. Freaking love that song. Now, that song is exactly what you said earlier. That song, that's a driving down the I-5, no traffic, maybe at about midnight.
Wow.
That, That's me. That's me. They all hang out and going nuts. Now I have to do this. This is where I go completely abstract in music that I love. Now, this is a group called Passion Pit. By the way, that last song, that was the Foo Fighters. I love them because they play music that makes me really, like, you know, that energizes me. Now, this group, Passion Pit, I heard this song while I was in the Manhattan Detention Center when I was locked up. I heard this song on the rock station that they had in New York for a little while. They took over CD 101.9, and it was called Rock 101. And I heard this song, and I want you to take a wild guess, JC, what I was thinking when I would listen in my headphones. We had the little clear plastic headphones and a clear plastic Walkman sort of thing, radio, transistor radio. I was listening to this song. Tell me what you think that I was thinking when I was listening to this. Now, I want you to put the aspect of, I want you to put the whole perspective. I'm in jail. I'm locked in my cell. It's locked down from 3 o'clock till 4:30. This song would come on. I would listen to it, and it would always make me feel a certain way, what was running through my mind when I heard this song. I'll guess you got a minute and 30 seconds of that song. What do you think? Why did I like that song every time it played on the radio?
It has nothing to do with freedom.
Absolutely not.
See, when I hear that song, what goes through my mind when I think of you,
right,
is hold on.
It's really obvious. It's all over the place.
Wow. That's actually a tough one.
It is a tough one. It's a real, real tough one.
I kind of see you in radio.
Okay, that's fair. That's a fair assessment. Do you know what my biggest obsession with that song was about?
What's that?
The one thing that I was deprived of when I was in jail was electronics. My life had been overcome with being on my computer and making music and working, and everything about that song is electronica. Everything about that song is electronica. The different sounds, the different melodies, all that other stuff. And I have been deprived of that. And being deprived of that, listening to that song, made me think of all the sounds and melodies that you can create with electronica. And listening to that really made me feel like I was a part of a technical age, like I hadn't been separated from it. and I was listening to all the beats and the compressions and the change-ups and all that other stuff. Boom, 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 boom. I was listening to all of that, and it was taking over me when I was listening to it. And I would listen to it, and then hearing that beat, it was giving me some sense of dealing with computers and sound and electronic, all of it. It was a huge part of why it is that I fell in love with it.
Well, listen, I know we're out of here.
Yep.
But I'm going to give you till tomorrow to figure me out. I'm going to close out with this song right here.
Okay.
No, we're going to kill your song.
Okay, well, go into your song. I want to figure this one out. Oh, I love songs you see. That's reason to make jokes. It's time to say that.